You guys, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books was nominated for a Webby Award, which is this really prestigious award that I am dying to win. And there's a People's Voice component, and you can vote and get me from number two, second place, to first place. But you have to vote. Please go to vote.webbys.com. Vote.webbys.com, but it's kind of complicated, so it might be easier just to go to zibbyowens.com or my Instagram at zibbyowens, where it'll always be in my stories and it's in one of those little circle highlights. Please, please, please vote. Voting ends April 18th and I'm in second place, so please vote for best individual episode, talk show, interview show. Thank you so much.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20. Capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you like this podcast, you will love my new anthology called Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. Check it out, and you'll hear from 49 authors about all sorts of things moms don't have time to do. All the authors have been on this podcast. Also, check out my TikTok, at With Zibby and Tracy, my other podcast, Sex Talk with Zibby and Tracy. Check out Moms Don't Have Time to Write on Medium. And of course, my new publishing company called Zibby Books. And now back to our daily author interview site and a quick hello from some of my kids.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Enjoy the show. If you like this podcast, you will love my new anthology called Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. Here's a little snippet by one of the authors from the anthology.
My name is Jean McCulloch, and I'm thrilled and honored to have contributed to Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. My essay is called Snow in the Night Sky. And what I really don't have time for these days is to visit all my friends and relatives dotted throughout the country who I haven't seen since the lockdown. So there's a goal for the coming year.
Kate McDougall is the author of London's number one dog walking agency, a memoir. Kate is a writer and journalist who now lives in rural Oxfordshire with her family. She writes features for publications including Country Life, The Telegraph, Horse and Hound, Homes and Antiques, while also wrangling three small children and two disobedient dogs. Welcome, Kate. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss London's number one dog walking agency, a memoir.
Oh, thanks for having me, Zibby. Hi.
Can you please tell everybody what this book is about, how this really happened, all of this amazing stuff that you talk about in the book? But give a synopsis to start.
Yeah, of course. So it's a memoir. It's the story of the years that I ran a dog walking company in London, which was an unplanned career move. I was working at Sotheby's in the furniture department selling antiques, also not really knowing what I was doing there. I was very clumsy and I kept dropping things, and I decided that actually I probably needed a change. And around the same time, I happened to meet somebody in the park, in Hyde Park, which is one of London's biggest parks, and they were walking a dog and they said, oh, this is my job, this is what I'm doing. And it wasn't really a thing in London then at all. People didn't do that as a job. I know it's, you know, been around in New York and America for a lot longer, but we were a bit, the British are a bit funny about having other people walk dogs for a long time. So I thought, well, I can do that. I had dogs growing up. And so I set up a website, and before I knew it, I had my first client, and I thought, oh my God, I've got to do this now for real. So I left my office job, and yeah, I started out walking dogs, not having a clue what I was doing. So the book kind of charts that, is that journey from starting out to in the end when I hand over the business and leave London. And during that time, there's marriage and kids. And so, yeah, it's a real journey.
So amazing. It was so funny at the start when you were telling everybody that you were leaving work, and everyone's like, dogs? Why are you going to work with dogs? I mean, it's just so funny when people leave their traditional.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Particularly my mother, who was horrified by the whole thing, because working for Sotheby's sounds all, you know, exciting. And it was a great place to work. It was fascinating, but it just wasn't for me. And yeah, when I told everybody I'd be walking dogs for a job, they just thought I was completely insane. And actually, they were probably right, because I really didn't know what I was doing. And yeah, as the book details, it's a lot more to do with the owners than it is with the dogs, really, because they're the tricky ones.
That's very true. And of course, it also, you know, talks, as you mentioned, about your own relationships and even, you know, what it was like sort of getting buy-in from your boyfriend at the time about doing this job and dragging a hungover guy on the train to, you know, having to deal with a hyperactive dog in the park. And like all the time, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine this whole thing.
He's such a hero. He is my husband. He's upstairs bathing our children. Yeah, he really didn't like dogs to start with at all, which I think he thought was okay. He thought, well, you know, it's not really going to affect me what she's doing for a job. And then before he knew it, he was actually involved with walking some of the dogs himself. If I got stuck and I didn't have anybody to walk a dog, he would go in his suit in his lunch break to pick up dogs all across London, which he really did not sign up for. And then we got our own dog, which I talk a lot about in the book. And yeah, she's called Mabel, and she's still alive. She's 13 now. And yeah, he completely fell in love with her. And from that, now he's a big dog fan, luckily. And we have two dogs now. So yeah, I think I converted him.
I also had a dog named Mabel, by the way, a long time ago.
Oh, no way. Oh, it's a great dog name.
She was a bulldog.
Very good.
I thought it was very
sweet.
Fitting.
Oh, lovely. Yes. Yeah, he's an amazing husband. He deserves lots of prizes.
Oh, well, it's such a great story, and it's just so heartfelt, and you have such a sense of humor the way you talk about everything. And oh, it's just, it's like such a pleasure to read it and experience life sort of through your eyes and how it was at the time. And anyway, it's just really sort of heartwarming.
Oh,
well,
thank you.
So what was it like, this experience for you writing the book? Did you know you wanted to, I mean, was this like in the back of your head the whole time?
Yeah, I really think it was. I think from pretty much the first dog, you know, when you sort of walk into these people's houses and you get this little glimpse into all these other people's lives, which was such a privilege and also just so fascinating. And I think human beings, we end up kind of comparing ourselves with other people all the time. And yeah, there was just so many stories and so many characters that would have just been criminal not to write it down. And I've always written when I was younger and just loved it. But I worked on it on and off for a number of years. It wasn't something I just sat down and wrote. It was bits and bobs here and there, along with having children and doing other things. And I think then I got to the point where I was just annoyed with myself and not having finished it. And that was kind of really the drive that got me to do the final draft.
So is it the kind of thing, did you end up liking it? What did you say? Bips and bobs. That's such a funny way to say it.
Bobs, sorry. And bobs.
I love that. No, it's so cute. I love that. That sounds like it should be like a cute little shop or something.
Bips and bobs. Yeah, I'm sure there is one sort of called that somewhere. I did at the end. I think you get to the point where you think this sounds like me, and this sounds like my voice, and this sounds true to the experience, and it's got the right feel to it. And I wanted it to be sort of heartwarming and funny and just full of amusing stories and characters. And I think hopefully that came across.
Absolutely. So would you do it again though? Do you have another book? Like, is this the kind of thing where you're like, okay, I got through it and, you know, here it is and it must be feel so rewarding? Or how does it feel now that it's out? And would you want to do it again?
Oh, it's amazing to have it out. It was a very strange experience because the book was bought by UK publisher and the US publisher in very quick succession, but all during the first lockdown here. And I was trying to homeschool my children, and it was this really surreal experience. I didn't actually meet anybody for months and months and months, and then only got to meet my editor really briefly once in person, because we just weren't allowed to, and restrictions. And I mean, that was my only experience of having a book published. So it was fine for me, but I think, you know, everyone was saying, well, this is really unusual because it doesn't normally happen like this, and usually we'd get to meet you more. But actually it was a really lovely distraction from what was going on in the world. Yeah, I'm actually writing a novel at the minute, which I'm really, really enjoying. But I think because the first book took me a long time, over a number of years, and I've got a year to write this one, actually you realize it's such a lot of work, and having it condensed in a short space of time has definitely got its advantages, but also its disadvantages, because I feel up against my deadline quite a lot at the minute.
And what's your novel about?
It's very British. It sets in the countryside near here where I live. It's about two sisters and their slightly eccentric relatives. But yeah, I'm absolutely loving doing it. It's just such a joy. I never thought I'd write a novel. So when they bought the first book, the publishers, Bonnier in the UK, said, would you like to write a fiction one too? And I just jumped at the chance. And it's just such an honor and a privilege. And yeah, I'm absolutely loving it, doing it.
That's amazing. So what are some, for people who have not read the book, what are some things you learned about dog owners relative to their dogs that maybe you didn't know before you wrote, you know, experienced this yourself?
Well, I'd say, if I was being kind and generous, I'd say most dog owners are normal and lovely and very sane. I think it's the small minority that are possibly slightly more eccentric, very devoted. And sometimes that sort of intense love for their dogs can sort of come out in sort of unusual ways sometimes. So very strange requests with diet, very strange requests with how to put their dogs to bed. So bedtime stories and tucking them into the bed, and all sorts of requests for different types of massage, and dogs that can only walk on one side of the road. And I think this is probably quite niche behavior, but it's those clients that you remember, obviously, and those are the ones people want to read about. But I think we all know how much dogs mean to us and what a big part of the family they are. So I think we can forgive some of the behaviors. Yeah, we're such massive dog lovers, aren't we? I mean, they are absolutely everything to us. And particularly in the last year, I think they've become even more key members of our family.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra.
Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, this is so exciting. So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on? Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby. I can't go anywhere without my dog. She's like my, you know, I touch my purse and she like jumps up. Yeah.
Oh, so sweet.
I know. It's so, I don't know if you can even see her. She's in the couch over there. She's a black
blended
lab.
In. Yeah, she's camouflage. Like,
but she's like always nearby. I can't like go anywhere without her. But I think it's also funny with your then boyfriend, now husband.
Yeah.
That sometimes you aren't a dog lover until you fall in love with your dog. Similar to people who aren't like kid people, or they don't love babies or whatever, and then they have a child and then all of a sudden that's all they're talking about. And they're like, oh, now we get it. So sometimes it's that falling in love feeling of something before you can extrapolate it a little bit more.
Yeah. And he really resisted. I mean, he was really like, this is your dog. I'm not having anything to do with it. And yeah, he you could see him kind of softening. You could see the way she was like melting his heart very slowly. Yeah, and it was just really, really lovely to see. And yeah, we've got two now. And he still jokes every now and then. They're like, oh, they're your dogs. But actually, he's completely smitten with both of them. And yeah, bless him. What a transformation.
So you're a mom of three and have two dogs. And now you're writing a novel and promoting the memoir and all this stuff. So do you find time to read? And if so, what do you like to read?
Yeah, reading is a really, really key part of my writing, I think. If ever I'm lost with the writing, I always go back to pick up a favorite book or a new book, and it immediately sort of sparks that creativity again for me. I always have about 3 or 4 books on the go, which is probably a bit crazy, and also listen to audiobooks as well a lot. I find audiobooks can be brilliant just to kind of fill in gaps if you're out walking the dogs or doing the washing up or, you know, doing something with it, folding laundry, just to fill those gaps. I like to have it kind of coming at me all the time. I'm quite a diverse reader, although I do fall back into my favorite writers a lot. Quite a few American writers, actually. Ann Patchett, David Sedaris, Nora Ephron, all really, really big, big fans of those. And British writers as well. There's a lovely comic British writer called Nina Stibbe, who I absolutely love her books. Jilly Cooper, who's one of my all-time literary heroes, who's very British English. She wrote things like Riders. And do you know any of those? But she's in her 80s now, but she's hugely prolific. She was a journalist as well. And things like P.G. Woodhouse, like old school classic British comedy. That's what I really fall back to if I'm struggling with my own work, which I think probably has a similar sort of tone too. But yeah, I'm probably having a bit of a renaissance with my reading. I go through sort of phases, but now that I'm writing more, it's just crucial to me that I read all the time. And yeah, it never fails to inspire me. I've recently got into Katherine Heine, who I absolutely love as well. Another brilliant American writer. Yeah. So
I have Early Morning Riser is like on my to read list.
Oh, it's great.
I know, I have to. My business partner like loves it as one of her favorites. And I'm like, I have to read this book. So yes.
I actually preferred her Standard Deviation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but they're both just brilliant. She's got such a brilliant voice. And yeah, so yeah, we just have more bookshelves built in our house to come and day, all the books that we've got. They're just everywhere around the house. And I really hope it's something that my kids want to be as interested in books as I am, because it's just such a joy to read.
I was actually losing hope with my kids, to be honest with you. But now the school is like mandating a 20-minute reading period every day at home. And cool. I somehow was not able to implement this with my older kids. But now, I don't know, these guys listen. So we have this new, 2-week-old everyday habit where all of us sit and read in quiet for 20 minutes, like before TV at night. And it is like the highlight of my day. And they That's are old, amazing. You know, my little guys are old enough now that they can read all by themselves and chapter books and whatever. And I'm like, this is so great. Not only is it actually finally quiet in my house, but we're all like immersed. And the best was the other day when my daughter was like, I was like, okay, like the timer went off, you can stop reading. And she's like, oh, no, I have to get to the end of like what I'm doing, you know, whatever. This is amazing. And then at one point she was like, we started chatting and she was like, she's like, shh, I'm trying to focus on my reading. And I was like, oh, you are you? You know, all I try to do all day is read. And like, you interrupt me 100 times a day. Anyway, it's been really fun to see
that. So lovely to hear. I think it usually takes, it's like one book that like opens the door to the reading. My little boy, who's 7, he's just passionate about reading now. And it was one book. It was the Treehouse series. I don't know. Absolutely, like literally read all of them in about a week, and now like tears through books, and I can't kind of quite keep up with him with it. But yeah, I with my daughter, it was Harry Potter. So yeah, I think they just have to get that one thing that really sort of sets them off, and then hopefully they'll stay big readers forever.
Yeah, we're in some sort of Dragon Master situation. Over
Okay.
I don't know. And now, of course, they're like, well, have you interviewed this author? And I'm like, well, no, I haven't. You know, and they're like, well, could you just do that now, please? I'm like, okay, I'll try.
He sounds so adorable.
Anyway, so what advice would you have to aspiring authors?
Gosh, well, going back to the reading thing, I think reading is so, so vital. I was told by an editor who didn't work on my book, but who I knew sort of through friends, that it's the writers that just put the work the hardest that get there, which sounds, you know, slightly disheartening in a way, I guess. But actually, I found that working really, really hard was actually helped me deal with the whole process when the book was published. Because I think you do get a bit of imposter syndrome and you do worry that your book's good enough. And I think having that background of just really hard work behind you not only makes the whole process, you know, when it gets published just so wonderful, but also is your sort of groundwork for the whole experience itself. She said to me, I remember, you know, this is when most people give up, but I think I was on my sort of third draft and I'd had a few rejections and I was sort of about to, you know, bin the whole thing. And she said, this is when most people give up. It's the ones that continue on now that make it. You have to put in those extra hours. And actually she was completely right. And it wasn't ready. And I had rejections for a good reason. So actually, I think just you've got to work hard. You've got to put the hours in. And then, you know, hopefully you'll get there. You will be the one that doesn't give up and you'll get to the finish line.
I love that. I love it. Especially because you've invested so much time already. You might as well. I think there's some like block, like I've done all this. It should be enough. And then that last little bit, you know, you just can't, I don't know. You have to get, anyway, I love your motivation to sort of get past that point.
Yeah, I really think it does. I mean, and I think it has really helped me when I've had those moments of thinking, oh, is it not? It's not good. Even though, you know, well, does anyone like it? And you still have doubts the whole way through. Getting it published does not mean that you don't have those doubts anymore. They're there. They're just about different things. And I think, you know, having, as I said, that like real backing of you've put those hours in, you deserve to be there, actually really helps, because it's a daunting process. And, you know, getting reviews and seeing your book on the shelves and stuff is fantastic. But it's, you know, you do have those insecurities. And I think having those hours and hours of work behind you actually really does help you through it.
Amazing. Wow. Well, Kate, thank you so much. Thanks for sharing your hilarious and amazing story with us in such a great way. Love your writing style and all of that. So what fun. And thanks for skipping bath time to do this conversation tonight. So thank you.
Anytime I can skip bath time.
Yeah, we could do this again tomorrow if you want. I could call you at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, every night.
Every night. A regular appearance.
So nice to chat to you, Zibby.
Nice to talk to you too. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.